May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Going on a bear hunt. I'm not scared. Have you ever been on a bear hunt? I have early memories of my mom leading us in bear hunts at church as part of early birds, those who showed up to children's choir before the director was quite ready for us. Now, the leader of a bear hunt spots obstacles, and she will declare them, and her fellow hunters must figure out a way to somehow overcome them. When you reach a meadow, a swamp, a lake, the leader reports, "We can't go over it. We can't go under it. We can't go around it. We'll have to go through it." Thanks, choir. There are bear hunt moments in life when there is no other way to overcome an obstacle except to go through it. You can't go over it or under it. You can't go around it. Through is the only way. This is where the disciples are at this point in John's gospel. They are facing an unavoidable and multidimensional crisis. Jesus is about to suffer horribly. And to make matters worse, in the process, the disciples will learn that they are not who they understood themselves to be. Up until now, the disciples thought of themselves as faithful followers, Jesus's ride or die. But on this very night when Jesus has washed their feet and demonstrated to them how they are to love one another, he also shatters their self-understanding. He tells them that one of them will betray him into the hands of those who want him dead, and another of them will deny him three times before morning. What a startling, incomprehensible message this must have been to hear. Jesus must die, and their own shortcomings, cowardice, and disloyalty will add to his suffering. It is going to be awful. And there's no going around it, only through it. There are 21 chapters in John's Gospel, and four of them are dedicated to Jesus' farewell discourse. Almost 20% of the Gospel is Jesus saying goodbye, with another 10% dedicated to his death and another 10% to his resurrection, which means that almost half of the gospel is the very end of the story of Jesus' time on earth. Now, our passage for today is the beginning of the farewell discourse, right after Jesus has told his disciples how spectacularly they are going to fail him. And he starts with, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Given the situation, those words are almost laughable. How could their hearts not be troubled after all Jesus has just told them? And why isn't Jesus more troubled about what he is about to undergo? Perhaps you have sat vigil at the bedside of a loved one who is entering her final days, and she's said something similar. "Do not worry. It's all going to be okay. I am always with you." Strangely, the one who is leaving consoles the one left behind, and though great comfort is found in those words, it also sort of feels backward. Shouldn't we be comforting you? Shouldn't the disciples be trying to comfort Jesus here? In this moment, Jesus urges them to trust. Yes, Jesus will depart, but where he is going has room for them too. "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." And Jesus is going to prepare a place for the disciples and will return to take them to one of those many dwelling places. But Thomas would like the exact GPS coordinates, please. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? After all this time, the disciples still don't get it. There's an old joke that at the church, the answer is always Jesus. If your Sunday school teacher asks a question, but you had kind of just zoned out, but he's looking right at you waiting for an answer, just say Jesus. If Miss Margaret asks a question during the children's chat and you don't know the answer, try Jesus. It was the answer this morning, even. Most of the time, you'll be right. And the same is true here in John's Gospel. Jesus is always the answer. Hungry? Jesus is the bread of life. Thirsty? Jesus is the living water. Stumbling around in the darkness? Jesus is the light of the world. Is the flock getting restless? Jesus is the good shepherd. Are you looking for a way into the sheepfold? Well, Jesus is also the gate. So here, when Thomas asks for directions to find where Jesus is going, we should not be surprised that the answer is once more, Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Philip, surely overwhelmed by all that is about to transpire, urges Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. In crises, we may convey a similar sentiment. Where are you, God? What are you doing about this terrible trial I'm facing? God, show yourself, and I'll be satisfied. Philip has forgotten that the answer is always Jesus. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus has shown them the Father in everything he has said and done. And Jesus establishes a bit of a hierarchy of belief here. Ideally, the disciples would believe because of the words that Jesus has spoken. But if that doesn't do it for them, then he urges them to believe because of the works that he has done. Now, incidentally, following the resurrection, you may remember that when Thomas demands to see the wounds of the resurrected Christ, Jesus commends most highly those who do not see, yet believe. That would be you and me. Friends, there are some dreadfully hard things we go through in this life. Things that we wish we could go over, under, or around, anything but through them. But we can't. Each of us is dealt bear hunt moments where the only way is through, and those seasons are impossible. Still, we have hope. Even in this bear hunt moment for his disciples, Jesus pointed them to hope. And likewise, we ought to point one another toward hope when we are faced with the unthinkable. Even so, too often the church has offered simple platitudes to dismiss the real pain of this life. We would do better to resist the temptation to use the encouragement of our faith to compel others to look on the bright side. Because for life's most dire challenges, that can feel impossible. So maybe instead of saying, that is hard, but instead we might say, that is hard and. Life is hard, and we know that Jesus departed to prepare a place for us, so that when we have gone through whatever we must go through, we will have a home with him. Life is hard, and we know that when we finally do get through this life, we do not come to an end, but another beginning. Life is hard, and we know in Jesus' death and resurrection, we see the heart of the Father. life is hard, and the answer is always Jesus. Bread, water, light, shepherd, vine, gate, way, truth, life, preparer of rooms, Jesus. Always Jesus. If you hold pain in one hand today, may you also hold this hope in the other. Yes, you must go through it, but you do not go through it alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.